Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I think me and Savannah have come to terms with what we're doing is big. I think both of us were like, it's cute. Like, everybody's crazy. It's a hobby. Let it break. We kind of help women. Crown and Conquer, it's like this little agency. And it's not. It's big. Like, and I think for the first time in my life, I've come to terms with, like, I am supposed to do big things.
I'm Sally Christensen, the founder and CEO of Argent, a women's workwear brand. And this is Work Friends, a podcast for those who take their work, but not always themselves, seriously.
Work Friends.
Today on Work Friends, I am joined by April McDaniel and Savannah James. April is the founder of Crown and Conquer, a creative agency that works with some of the biggest brands in the world. Savannah is the founder of Reframe Beauty, an inclusive skincare brand. While I'm excited to speak to them about their individual career journeys, these powerhouse women and powerhouse friends have combined ventures that are just as remarkable. This includes the members-only community Let It Break and hosting the podcast Everybody's Crazy, a weekly call-in show where April and Savannah offer sage advice on their audience's most burning questions. In the lead-up to Everybody's Crazy's seventh season, I also had a chance to ask them about a whole new development today, the launch of their own holding company, Signed. I'm excited to hear how these incredible friends are navigating successes, failures, pivots, and more. Now on Work Friends, April McDaniel and Savannah James. Hello, April. Hi, Savannah.
Hi.
I'm very excited to have you both in studio today. It's not every day that we have a pair of work friends and best friends, so there's a lot to discuss. But first, I want to hear about each of your biggest oh no moments in the past week. What's gone absolutely sideways and how did you handle it?
Oh no.
This is supposed to be our icebreaker.
In the past week. So I just think this week has been very intense. If I'm telling you what's happening this week, you would be like, this is psychotic. So one, I'm moving on Friday. I've moved a lot of times.
And you're here now?
Yes. I'm moving on Friday, which is like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. We obviously flew to New York because we're based in LA. We're here for 3 days. I have calls, meetings all day. Like, I looked at this week and was like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. And but also, like, it'll be, I guess when I see crazy, I'm like, it's over in 5 days, it'll be fine. So I don't really. And then we're filming on Saturday and Sunday. We're also building a studio right now, like today, tomorrow. It's almost finished. They started yesterday. So it's just so much happening in the week. But at the end of it, I also feel grateful.
Mine is a little bit more just kind of surfaced. Mm-hmm. I broke my computer.
No.
I'm like, how is this? I don't know. I opened up my screen and it was crazy. It was a little crack in the corner and the colors were everywhere. And I'm like, oh, okay. How did I do this?
Did you get it replaced? It's a sign.
Yeah, yes. It took a couple days.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's not as easy to like transfer, but I got a new computer out of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a sign.
Okay, so we always like to start at the beginning. Where did you, and I'll start with April, where did you grow up? What was that environment like? And what were the first examples of work that made an impression on you?
I grew up in New Jersey with my mom. She was a single parent. And the environment was intense, thankful, and unique. Mm-hmm. I think you don't realize until you go into the world, like living with a single parent and what it's like, until you like experience and you go to school and you see like, oh, this is not normal. Like, and then also thankful that I had a very strong mom and that she worked really hard. So from a very young age, I was very familiar with work. Like, to me, that was the essence of how we survived. That was how we made it. So I think from a very young age, I knew I wanted to work, but I also knew that I didn't want to struggle. Mm-hmm. So I think understanding that balance, I was very driven to like do something different than what my mom did. And really thought about it probably at a young age. I mean, I started my first like own little business when I was in high school. I sold water ice. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but like—
Wait, what? Water ice?
Water ice. It's like ice, like Italian ices in the summer. I had a cart and I had like, well, I was like 13 and I like had, so water ice, I'd make like $200 a day at my grandfather's bookstore. Like, I mean, I was always like a little hustler. I worked full time in high school. I worked full time in college. Uh-huh. So I think I just always have been very familiar with work and knew that that was like my way out, I would say. Like,
I wish I'd known you then. I was selling lemonade. I will say the theme of gratitude, though, that's come up a couple of times. Like, that's so important to my life. Like, it's so nice to have that instilled at a young age, you know, because I think it touches on all the hardship that everybody's running into obstacles every single day. But I think if you show up grateful, like, it really is.
Yeah, and also important. Realizing just like everybody has that. That's why we started Everybody's Crazy. It's like no one is exempt from hardship. Mm-hmm. No one. Mm-hmm. Like, and whatever your hardship is, but no one is exempt. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Savannah, mm-hmm. Early examples of work. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Akron, Ohio. My early examples of work are from my parents. My mom, I vividly remember, I couldn't have been any more than three, but I remember her studying on the bed. She was in nursing school. And then graduating from there, going to be a nurse. And my dad worked in a rubber plant in Akron. Obviously, Akron, rubber capital. But
I did not know that.
I actually didn't know that either.
Akron is the rubber capital of the United States?
Yes.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
He made airplanes. Interesting. He made airplane tires.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
Yeah. So, and my dad worked he went to work at 4 a.m. My mom worked third shift. She went to work at 11 p.m. So for me, it was just seeing the routine. It was very much routine in my house. My parents were very adamant about me being a kid. I didn't have a job. I went to school. I took care of my spaces and the things that I had to do in the house. So coming into entrepreneurship for me has been fun and gratifying because it's something that I've wanted to do, but it's definitely a learning process. Mm-hmm. I think I'm really good with routine just from seeing it and having that as an example. But these new things are new. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of learning curves and things that are, a little bit harder to get used to. Mm-hmm. But
totally.
I'm in it.
Yeah, so. And entrepreneurship is like anything but routine, you know? Mm-hmm. People will oftentimes ask me like what a day looks like, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I mean, none of them are the same. Nothing. I mean, look at y'all's week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing is the same. Mm-hmm. I think it is so hard.
Oh, it's so, I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording. You get into entrepreneurship because of an idea, you know, and then your job becomes all the things you did not anticipate having to do behind the scenes to allow the idea to come to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize, like, you can love something and also dislike it at the same time.
Resent it.
Uh-huh. And I don't know that I resent it. I'm just like, I think people make entrepreneurship hard, like people and having to engage with people and other people's expectations and their expectations of you and the taking away the humanness of like who we are and being like, you're the boss. And I'm like, I'm also human. Like, mm-hmm. I think that is really challenging. And there really is no empathy for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like, well, you're making all the money. And I'm like, well, am I? Because I don't feel like it. And I think that there are some people that are making all the money, but I think when you're building, that is not actually factual. And I think it tends to be a lot of misconceptions with it, with no grace.
I couldn't agree more. I always, I've heard someone say this once, but I'm like, I'd always try and lead with grace because I know that to be the reality. I also joke that I pay to work here, you know?
Yes.
It's like,
no, 100%.
It's been 11 years and I'm just.
I always tell her, I'm going to resign from this job. I'm like, write a letter to my boss. She's like, before we got into business together, she's like, who's your boss? I'm like, me. I was a joke. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like understanding.
It's funny because it's like that, and simultaneously, it's the most fulfilling and gratifying. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there is this duality to the experience. Yes. But I do think the people component and just recognizing that not everyone gets it, not everyone's going to get it.
No.
You're just going to encounter people that are not making the right assumptions.
Yeah.
You just have to have thick skin and sort of put your head down, I think, a lot of times. I'm not really trying to raise awareness all the times with the people that I'm coming across. I'm like, if you don't get it, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to do the work and, like,
yeah.
The results are going to speak
for themselves. That's been really hard for me. It's been a really hard lesson because I'm often like, come on, don't you want to be a part of this? And people are like, yeah, kind of. I think so. I think, like, wanting more for people than they want for themselves.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Has been a real struggle for me.
That's a great nugget. Yeah, I think after having done that, I'm 11 years in, we're 10 years this year of being publicly facing. But I think probably a few years ago, I recognized that I need to follow like the flow a bit more and not force. I think the second I recognize that I'm adjusting to make an employee happy, that it's not working
yep.
and it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm making adjustments or trying to force like investor conversations, external vendor party yep. like conversations. If they don't get it, they're not gonna get it.
No.
And so it's not worth it. Like you really want to find people that are so eager to be here.
Yes. Yeah, that's a huge lesson. I'm still learning.
Yeah. okay, I want to hear about how you two became such good friends. Was it through work or life in general?
Work for you.
Yeah, work for me. So I've been doing all of LeBron's like external stuff outside of basketball now. Last year was our 23rd All-Star.
Whoa.
Yeah. So yeah, just like working together, and Savannah would come and she was very quiet. So she would like sit in the corner and I'd be like, are you okay? Like, and I'd be like, do you want to talk? Do you want to chat? And she would like, we like slowly get to know each other. And then we were in the same city. She moved to Miami. I was living in Miami. Mm-hmm. And then we started hanging and then that was all she wrote. I think it was very organic. Mm-hmm. And I think it was also both of us like being curious about what we were accustomed to, but what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So like, we'd be like, do you want to go on a trip to like Europe? And she'd be like, okay, yeah, let's go. Like, and we do like crazy things that people would be like, why are y'all there? We'd be like, cause we wanted to be like, mm-hmm. Do you want to go to Fashion Week? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? She'd be like, we're never going to get an invite. I'm like, girl, don't worry. I'm going to get us an invite. Don't you worry. I'm like, I got it. It's covered down that end. So I think it was like the curiosity and then ultimately the growth. You know, I think both of us evolving as women and just really being able to support each other in that, you just become more and more close. I think there really is a lack of people understanding how important friendship is. That I think is really hard for me to see, especially with young females, like the lack of loyalty. Like, you know, I have teenage boys and they're like, man, these girls in my school, they was cat fight. I'm like, what are they fighting about? You know, and just like how young women are treating each other and desiring male attention and just like not being loyal to each other, not being honest. Like, I hate that. Like, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
That's rough. I'm raising an 11-year-old girl, and the things she comes home with, I'm like, are y'all really talking about
I'm
this
not at there
11
yet.
Years old? Yes, very catty.
Yes.
Catty, clicky. It's
You're not good enough.
It's very interesting.
You're not, you know, and I just think in the world we live in, like, really glorifying lifting women up, and really understanding what that means, you know? And I just think it goes back to employees as well, because mm-hmm. I think so many people look at you're the boss who may be a woman, and I do feel like female entrepreneurs have it harder. I do. I feel like
with certainty.
Yes.
And female entrepreneurs of color. I mean, you have it yes. the hardest. It's like virtually zero money flows into your business. Correct. It's the same for women writ large. It's 2%, I think, yes. was the most recent statistic.
Yes.
But that money is everything in this game.
Yes. And then like you have employees that just want to uh-huh. smush it down. Like it's mm-hmm. so easy to make it to that point. So I just, for me, I really desire people to, you know, everyone talks about being good, you know what I mean? And I think that really comes from values, like how you were raised. And I think in friendship, there is a level of integrity and loyalty that you have to your friend.
I think the benefit of living now, and I'm not in the teenage girl realm yet, but I do think the benefit of now is the generation above us was raised in a scarcity mindset, and all these women were really pitted against each other in the workforce.
Yes.
And I think we know better now, and I do think that that has like a cascading effect that's really positive. You're both very entrepreneurial, as I called out when you sat down. Research for this episode was so fun because you both really are doing a lot, and I love it. That's what we love here at Argent. So I want to start with you, Savannah. You've led a string of different businesses. A juice spot, a children's furniture company.
Yes.
And of course, last year you launched your own beauty line, Reframe Beauty, and there are probably steps in there that we missed. So I'm just curious, have you always been entrepreneurial?
I think maybe that's what kind of held me back, is that I never had like a regular job as far as like not wanting to be an entrepreneur. I feel like I've always wanted to have and bring to life my own ideas because I've had a million of those. Mm-hmm. And then just being in my home, like seeing how dedicated and I guess like passionate about what my husband does and how he is with his job, just to see that every day is just like, oh, so I can do what I want to do as long as I do all of the steps to get there and I'm passionate and dedicated to it. So I did the juice spot just from everything that I do, it comes from an interest mm-hmm. that I have. So first was the furniture line. And I partner with Value City and did that with my kids. I've always wanted to be an interior designer. I designed all my homes, went to design school, but then realized I didn't want to do it for other people. I just wanted to do it for myself. I didn't want anyone to tell me like, oh, I don't know, pink wallpaper. And I'm like, that's ugly. That's right. I don't want to do that. I'll just do it for myself. Uh-huh. But that was that part of, you know, an interest that I had and something that I was able to make come to fruition. And then when it came to the juice spot in Miami, I am super health, wellness, conscious, forward. I love talking about and doing all of the things health and wellness. And that was just a passion project that was fun. It lasted for a little while. We moved from Miami, and once I wasn't physically able to be there anymore, it just kind of fizzled out. Mm-hmm. But it was fun and a learning experience. And now with Reframe, I am loving every second of it. It's really hard. It's a completely different business, but again, something that I'm super interested in and super curious about, and it's just been a fun process.
Can I ask how your previous businesses led to your brand today? Like if there was anything from your juice experience, furniture experience, interior design experience?
I don't think so. I think they all kind of had their own just blip in time. Yeah, mm-hmm. just kind of based out of interest of where I was at that time and what I wanted to do. I think with beauty now, that has been kind of a through line. Like mm-hmm. I've been interested in all things beauty since forever, since watching my mom in the mirror put rollers in her hair and put eyeliner and lipstick on, you know. So I think this is a place where I've been able to really pour something that has been innate in me, I guess. Like the other things were more interest. This is more something that's like, oh, this is like what I love.
I think that's the only way to do it, right? Is mm-hmm. when it's that passionate and you have like a clear vision of what you're trying to accomplish. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, like the path from A to B is just not, it's too hard, you know?
Yeah.
In April, you worked in hospitality for a long time.
Yes.
You're the founder of the award-winning creative agency Crown and Conquer that's been around for the past decade. Mm-hmm. Can you share a bit about the type of work you do? And you touched on it a little bit, but and how you got into it?
Yeah, I mean, I worked for Noah Tepperberg and Jason Strauss at Tao Group for 12 years. I love them. They're the best. I think it goes back to people and just working with people that have integrity and loyalty and great values. Like, I worked for two guys that are just solid. Like, I call Noah all the time. And just really seeing what he has built has been really helpful, and I learned so much from them. I didn't know I was like in entrepreneur school when I worked with mm-hmm. them. That's basically what it was. And then my husband passed, and I was like, okay, now what am I gonna do? I took a year off of work to be with my boys, and then went to work at another agency for 2 years. And I was like, I don't think I can work for somebody again. I think my experience with Noah and Jay was very unique and very empowering. And I think when you sometimes you go work someplace and you feel like your wings are being clipped or like you're being confined. And I just, that feeling of being confined is my worst nightmare. Like, I hate it. I like realize now that it's triggering to me. So I was like, oh, I'm just gonna go off and do my own thing. And I just thought my own thing would be small. Like, so I think for Crown and Conquer, I initially never imagined it was that. So for the last 10 years, I've been trying to come to terms with what it is, because it's the business has evolved, I've evolved. And, you know, it wasn't that I sat down and made this clear vision and was like, I'm going to have this kind of agency with these kind of people. It was like, okay, I'm going to make money because I have two kids and I'm going to survive. And I'm definitely not going to struggle like my mom did. So like, and I did it, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think in real time, I was like, in a lot of ways, suffocating, like, mm-hmm. because it wasn't like, I never imagined it to look like how it turned out. Mm. So I think a lot of it was unintentional. And I think now, and I've come to terms with like, oh, this is big. And I think me and Savannah have come to terms with what we're doing is big, you know? And I don't think either of us wanted to own that. Like, I think both of us were like, it's cute. Like, everybody's crazy. It's a hobby. Let it break. We kind of help women. Crown and Conquer, it's like this little agency. And it's not. Uh-uh. It's big. Uh-huh. Like, and I think for the first time in my life, I've come to terms with, like, I am supposed to do big things. You know, even with everybody's crazy, it for the longest, it was a hobby. Mm-hmm. It was like, it brought us joy. And I felt like as soon as I was signing up for it to be a business, I personally felt like the joy was going to be gone. So I'd only say, like, it's a hobby. Like, don't say it's a job. Just say it's a hobby. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and now we're like, those two can be true.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You touched on so many things that I think are interesting. One, I think women are raised to not be risk takers. Yes. And so going in thinking, you know, smaller, that it wouldn't be as big as it is expected, I think, of us, yeah. given how we're conditioned and how society, you know,
for sure
reacts to us. But I think to actually name that this is big and we are big, like, it's so powerful. Yes. And more of us need to do it.
Yeah.
And then I think the other is the power of saying no to things. Like, yeah. we say no to 99%+ of yes. things that come across our desk. And that's what makes, I think, our offering so magical, is that, like, we are really discerning. We're really intentional with our time. We're really intentional with our choices. And what does happen all the time is everyone has these ideas that they bring yes. to you. I feel like people also are trying to take away your power, especially when you're a female founder.
For sure.
And so it's really just sitting here listening to you describe it, it's like really exciting to me because I feel like you guys really have stood, like, stepped into what you're building.
Yeah. And owning it. I think I think so many other people want to own it, you know what I mean? And like want to be a part of it or say that they did it. And I think for us, it's like owning it, you know? And I spent a whole year being fearful, a whole year.
When there's no room for it. It's like, for to what end? Oh, my God. It's an unproductive emotion, you know?
It's the wildest emotion. Mm-hmm. I've never had fear. Mm-hmm. I'm like, since I was a small kid, I was like fearless. Last year, I was the most fearful I've ever been in life, in business, in love, and just everything. I was fearful. And then I go to Savannah. She's like, girl, don't worry.
I was going
to
ask what Savannah. What? Yeah,
no, gangster. This is the most gangster. She'd be like, it's okay. Don't worry.
She says, I'm the risk taker.
Yes.
But I don't feel like that. I just feel like I'm like, we could do anything. Like, what are we, like, if we want to do anything, we could do it.
Yeah, why
are
we being fearful about it? She thinks like that. I think it's wild.
I feel like you're a dreamer and a doer. That tends to be how, of like, we operate. Yes. And just from hearing you talk about your experiences, too, you have these ideas, but then you bring them to life, and they're calculated risks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always say that I'm risk averse, but if you look at my experience, it defies that, right? People think I'm like wildly risk taking, but I'm like, it just makes sense to me. Failure is part of this process. I think that these micro failures are so important because we're learning from them, we're iterating on whatever it is that we're building. And for us, like, we talk about failure a lot, and we really lean into failure and we try and promote it. I do think perspective is important with that. Mm-hmm. Can each of you share a bit about how you've learned to navigate failures? Or are there any specific ones that come to mind that you think about?
As far as business goes, I don't look at them as failures because I feel like each one taught me something different.
Totally.
So I think that goes to just what you were saying. Like, I don't see it as a failure. And as long as I'm moving this way, nothing is failing.
I do not like that word. Ooh, you said it and I was like, certain words for me are just not, I'm not okay. I'm not okay with that word. I just, it's funny. We were just did another interview and the lady was like, what are you terrible at? And I was like, nothing. Why would I be terrible at anything? I just think like terrible means you didn't even try. Like, what? Every day I get out of bed, I'm like, the devil is like, oh, here she comes. She is coming. Y'all better move aside. Like, I feel like failure is, and it's funny because going back to young women, I feel like a lot of young women feel like they're failing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, feel like they're not good enough. Like, I don't even think that that's a real world word, because if you wake up and you try, you can't fail. Like, that's not even possible because you tried. It may not have panned out the way you want it to be, and you may have not have been the best, but that's also the thing, is everybody wants to be the best, but you may not have meant to be the best for that. But when the woman asks, like, are you terrible about out of anything, I'm like, no, if I tried, I'm not terrible. I'm just not as good as I would like to be. So for me, failure is like when people are like, there's challenges. I'm like, yeah, or there's opportunities. You know what I mean? I think it's how you view it. Mm-hmm. And I definitely am more cautious. Like, I do not like failing. Like, every day I wake up, I'm like, I'm in the house by myself and I'm crushing making a tea. Like, it's like, I'm like, yes, got it. Honey, this, that. I'm crushing everything. Like, I wake up crushing every day in my life. Like, that's what I do.
This is like a bit of an athlete mindset, which I really live for, you know?
Yeah, that's why I can understand. Like, sometimes I'll be up early and the only other person that's up in LA like me is LeBron. And he will like post something in the gym and I'd be like, I'm in the bathtub. Like, and it'll be like, okay, but like I'm in the gym. I'm like, still, I'm so crushing. Like, because it's 5 a.m. So I guess I do have a bit of that. And I just think you can't lean into like what didn't go right. Because I feel like life is not fair.
No, I think it's like, actually, to take it back to the people piece, sometimes like I do try and take feedback for a relationship that doesn't work out, an employee that doesn't work out. I think there's feedback constantly in all of these experiences that we have. But I also think the only way that you're going to succeed stepping into the roles that we are, which are very vulnerable, candidly, because you're putting your face on, you know, whatever it is that you're starting. But I think that, I think taking the feedback and then moving forward is like the name of the game. And it takes this like level of confidence and that like you're, that's on full display, to just, it's thick skin. It's, I know what I'm doing. Not everyone may see it, but like, let's go. You
know? And I have to be honest. I don't know what I'm doing. Like sometimes I don't
do.
Like who has built a company and you don't know, like, you know, like sometimes people will be like, I'll say to Savannah, she's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, girl, neither do I. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
totally. Nobody knows. That's like life's biggest secret.
Nobody knows.
At what point did it occur to you to enter into a business partnership? So you talked about the friendship origin story. Mm-hmm. Was it Let It Break? Was that the start of business?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it came out of that. It came from a culmination of things.
Yeah.
I started my personal growth journey a little bit later than April did. And she would share some of her experiences with me. So we would be on the phone and we'd be talking. So Everybody's Crazy and Let It Break is kind of coming from the same place. So she would, you know, be like, oh, my therapist told me this. My therapist told me that. You should try this. And I'm like, okay, I try it. But at the time, I wasn't really ready. And then, you know, talking to her, it motivated me. Like, maybe I should start to do some of this self-work, personal development thing. And it went there. And then once we kind of were a little bit more on the same page with it, we were like, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to have this for other women, just to give them the tools, like to let them know what's available to them, or to have these open conversations about what they're feeling in the time. So that's kind of where
It was her being like, yeah, we can do that. I was like, a business? She was like, yeah, girl, we're going to raise some money. We're going to do this. I was like, how? She was like, I don't know, but we're going to do it. I was like, okay. Again, just like dreaming, big picture. And then I'm a doer.
And also so, understanding the necessity. And like,
the necessity is real. I think like women really talking about is hard. You know, like I think in a very positive way, like what are the tools you can help yourself to get clarity and feel better and also feel supported and realize that being a mom, being an entrepreneur, being a friend, being a partner, taking care of a house, doing all the things, like we are, there's nothing like a woman. Like I think to myself, guys, we're killing it. Like, you know, like every day I'm like, wow, you know. So I feel like to build a community where women can feel supported, mm-hmm. and there could be real conversation, like people look at me and Savannah, I'm like, you guys have it so together. I'm like, girl, adulthood is ghetto in all the areas. Mm-hmm. Like even if you have the most amount of money, if you don't have any money, you can bring everybody together, and it's a common ground. And I think sometimes in the world, Instagram, social media make people feel like, oh, well, if I had this, if you had this, this is ghetto too. Like, don't be fooled. Like, you know, so it's just like, know which way. Nobody's exempt of hardship. Mm-hmm. I don't care what level in life you are. Nobody is exempt of grief. Nobody is exempt of certain things that are just life's challenges. So stop. I tell all the time, we always talk like stop comparing, because everybody's going to have their journey, but your journey could help somebody else. And I think continuing to champion that in a really unique way is important, instead of championing all the things that people think we should be.
Totally. And for our listeners, so Let It Break is an incredible organization dedicated to mental health and personal development that already has 400 members and is set to double this year.
Yep.
I mean, I imagine that you've said as much, you've just, you know, built something that you both sought out yourselves and, you know.
Yeah, I think when you have the resources to change for people's lives and give them things you already know, mm-hmm. I think with money often allows people to know about things that others don't. Mm-hmm. And that's why we built Let It Break. Like, there's so many things I think I've experienced in becoming more successful that I'm like, oh, what? this is crazy. Like, you know, that I'm just like, let's give it to more people sooner so that they can help themselves. Like, it's not supposed to be, oh, you don't need to know about that. Like, I think that's so odd. I think gatekeeping is so odd. I'm like, who are you to gatekeep? And I don't even understand why. You know what I mean? So I think for us, we wanted to give it to younger women sooner. Like, I'd much rather have had that experience not at 38, and at 35 becoming a new mother, or, you know, younger women that are going through it, speaking to women that have already been there. You know, a lot of people's parents don't talk about certain things. A lot of people's parents have not experienced therapy and this like kind of unique. I mean, I am the guinea pig of the group. I do it all. Hoffman, this, that, you take me anywhere. I'm like, yeah, I'm with it. Medicine journeys. I'm like, yeah, let's try it. Let's go. And then I kind of come back to the group like, guys, this was crazy. I almost died, but let me tell you what you should do. You know, like, I think there's always like one little rebel, and then the group can decide like what they want to pick from. But I think it's allowed me to evolve quicker, faster, being curious.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Now let's shift gears, talk about Everybody's Crazy. How did that come about? And for those who aren't listening yet, but should be, Everybody's Crazy is, it's kind of like a group chat.
Yeah.
People call in with any problem they need help with, and you both weigh in with advice and sometimes some tough love.
Oh, I can get so mad at the people sometimes.
Well, I was joking when y'all came in that people call in just to connect with the two of you and no other reason.
They do. I think Let It Break is the heart of us, and Everybody's Crazy is the humor. That's how we look at it. Like, and Everybody's Crazy came from
FaceTime calls.
I'd FaceTime her. I'd be like, am I crazy or is this crazy? And she'd be like, oh girl, everybody's crazy. And then that's how it came about. That's how the name came about. And then we kept saying it. I was like, I'm gonna trademark this. And then I trademarked the name, not knowing. And then we got an offer to do a reality show. And we went to film it. And I was like, this is crazy. Who is following cameras? This is odd.
We didn't
like,
do it.
No, we were like,
we did like a pilot. They followed us to like a fitting that we had. And we were like looking at the camera, not knowing what to
do. And they were like, all right, now talk. I was like, this is not reality. And then I'm a little edgy. So I say exactly how I feel. And they're like, oh, well, that you're not going to be able to say that. I was like, well, then we can't do this. Like, this is not really who we are. You know, I don't think we are reality TV. And so then we have an agent at WME, and he was like, you guys should have a podcast. And I was like, what is a podcast? I didn't even know what a podcast was.
What year are we talking?
2 years ago.
I live a bit in a bubble. Like, I am in the world, but not of it. Like, I don't have Twitter. I don't have TikTok. Like, I'm kind of like an old lady. So I was like, what's a podcast? And he was like, what? And I was like, okay. So I go back to Savannah. We have our late night talk. I'm like, Brad said we need to have a podcast. And Savannah's like, okay. So let's try it out. I was like, well, how we try it? She's like, put a camera up and we'll record ourselves.
I'm like, we need a phone. We wanted to do it like bring back Rick. If we were going to do it, we wanted to do something different and fun. Yeah. So I'm like, let's do it like an old school radio show and just have people call us. She's like, how are we going to have people call us? Put it on Instagram.
Yeah. So she got, we got a flip phone, like from like
the gas station.
Yeah, the gas station. We had a flip phone.
They ain't calling my phone. Yeah. Not calling your phone.
So we put our phone number up on Instagram. So we had to put it up. Then the phone was ringing nonstop. We was like, oh my God. And people kept calling. And we're like, what's your name? Where are you from? What's your crazy? And we recorded ourselves. But we recorded it for ourselves. A lady that called in recorded it and put it on Twitter. And we were like, and then our agent called us the next day. He was like, y'all started a podcast? I said, how you know we record, man? How you know that? He says, on Twitter. I said, what? I didn't even have a Twitter account. I was like, I go to Samantha, I'm like, you need to go on Twitter. We're on Twitter. And she's like, we're on Twitter. I don't got Twitter either.
Still don't.
So we were calling around. I called my friend. They're like, yeah, y'all on Twitter. Like, the lady recorded. She was like, this is so funny. Mm-hmm. And then Brad was like, y'all should just try to do it. And we were like, all right, we'll do 6 episodes. And we hired a camera crew. And we recorded in our office. That was our office. Mm-hmm. My office, and I would just like go jump from the desk, go to the sofa. She would come in a sweatsuit. We sit, we talk, we're like, this is genius. Mm-hmm. And for the first few episodes, we still were using a flip phone. Mm-hmm. And then we figured out how to have people call in, but we figured it out. Like the technology, we figured it out. I was like, I'm a producer starting off. So like, I'm like Googling like how you get a hotline on the podcast, YouTube, like I'm over here. And we just figured it out. And then it started naturally and it grew. And then we were like, oh, people really want to talk to us. And then I think I'm still surprised.
No, I am too. Yeah. Especially when we get calls from like Africa and Europe and Australia. Yeah. It's like, y'all really
and kids,
for
a lot of kids.
Yeah.
A lot of kids are grades not right, things not right. I'm like, what? You got to tell your mom, what are you doing? Like, you know, we get a lot of different kinds of calls, but it goes to show you that there's still very much so a loneliness epidemic.
Yeah, definitely.
Like of people not being able to connect to other people. There is definitely people feeling like certain individuals are untouchable, which I hate. Like,
same.
We're not untouchable. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and then I just think like a lot of people don't have perspective in their life. So they don't have a place to like somebody to be like, you know, struggling with like a worth issue or mm-hmm. accepting things less than them or being okay with. I'm like, girl, what are you doing? No, doing this man's taxes. Like some of the calls we get, I'll be like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. stop doing the man's taxes. Mm-hmm. You need to dump him. You know, like just a lot of things that mm-hmm. you often are just surprised at what people are accepting just to be close to someone.
Especially now, I think we're in a really interesting time where we're seeking out connection and community.
Yes.
Almost as a response to what social media has done to us
yes.
and our humanity. So yeah, I think everyone's just looking for a friend, which is
yes.
how the setup of the podcast is brilliant. It's perfect.
Yeah. And know? I think also owning crazy, I think crazy,
yeah.
the word crazy has gotten like a lot of misconceptions
yeah.
to it. And we always say like, everybody has some sort of crazy, like I'm OCD. So if you live with me, my kids call me the scanner. I come in the house, I'm scanning the whole house. I'm like, blanket, shoes, like, mom, you walked in 3 minutes ago. I'm like, this is junky. They're like, it's not really junky. I was like, this is not tight. My kids would consider that crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think the word crazy has gotten so many, like people like move like you're supposed to look perfect, be perfect, operate in perfection, have it figured out. I'm like, no, that Mm-mm. is so false.
Yeah.
So kind of taking the veil off of that is really important for us. And realizing no matter where you are in life that everyone struggles.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I've got my own fair share of crazy, which thank goodness.
You yes.
know, it's like the best part of
it. But you have to own it. Like,
yeah, it's
you
know a good
what I mean?
Crazy.
And it's a good crazy. Like, that also is what makes people really successful mm-hmm. is the crazy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Logistically, can you share a bit about how you work together? How do you divide tasks? Is one of you more naturally skilled at a certain part of what you're building than the other? It does feel very complimentary
yeah.
to me.
April is definitely more of the executioner.
Mm-hmm.
She makes everything happen. I would say I'm more of the like, we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dreamer, the visionary. And then I fit in where I need to be of support to her. And it's oftentimes kind of hard to get that out of her because she won't necessarily mm-hmm. tell me exactly what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, like she knows that whatever I need to do, I do. And I step in when necessary. But she likes to be... in having the reins of
things.
So, and I let her yes. do that because I know that that is what she is good at, and that's how she works best.
Can I just say, I talk to a lot of female founders who are starting their founders, actually, in general, male and female, who are starting their businesses, and all it takes is one person that you respect to believe in you. And I feel like that's what you bring to the table, which is such a gift.
Yes.
Like, you cannot even begin to articulate how important this role that you play is, because you talked about how you've been fearful and like how you, you know, question yourself. That you come in and just give that validation is everything, because it could literally be the world that's saying no. And I feel like if Savannah said yes, April's
I'm like,
off
okay,
running.
Let's do it.
And, like, and every entrepreneur really needs that, because it really is so lonely, and you're getting told no constantly. And if you're dreaming in such a big way, like, a lot, most people are not visionaries. Most people can't go on that journey mentally with you, you know? So it's very helpful.
I agree with that. I think for me, being a sole founder for almost 10 years was very lonely.
Oh, yeah.
And I just was like, ugh, like just depleted. I think at year 8, I was just depleted on like, how many times does one have to pick themselves up? You know what I mean? And really, and I think then what happened during that journey is we started other things, and to be in partnership with somebody is very different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think I do a lot of things solo in my life. Obviously, I'm a widow. Like, there's certain aspects of my life that I have not had partnership. So to have that has been really amazing. I think also there is the execution, but there is also the balance of the creative and like Savannah having a creative input. Mm-hmm. And I think watching her evolve over the last 2 years as a founder and building Reframe has allowed her to find her voice in a different type of way. And I think we're only on another side of the journey. Like, I think up until this point, it's been like intentional and build, and now it's more strategic and visionary and creative, and it allows us to operate in a different, both of us in a different type of space than we historically have been able to.
Great segue. So you've just announced your next big venture together, which is a holding company called Signs.
Yes. Yeah. Signed.
I didn't know that. I just can't.
Yeah, it's okay.
Congratulations, first of all, because that's
Thank
a huge
you.
Step.
Yeah.
So under Signed, you'll find the businesses that you've created, but under an umbrella that allows you the benefits of being able to streamline operations and infrastructure across all of your business ventures. Mm-hmm. With all of the experience that you both have, and of course, an amazing support system through your friendship, how do you view this new business, and why do you think it's the best next step for both of your careers? And you kind of just answered it a little bit, but
I am so excited. I am personally excited. Mm-hmm. I think the way I've worked as an entrepreneur up until this point has been hard. And I don't think that that has to be the journey if you are in the journey with the right people. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to who's around you, how you're supported. Mm-hmm. What does that look like to you? What does support look like to you? Which Savannah said, obviously, I struggle answering. So I think this next journey for me is really about being supported and also realizing I deserve that. You know, I think a lot of times when you're a new entrepreneur, you feel like you have to earn it. Like, oh, I have to earn it. I have to work really hard so everybody can see. Mm-hmm. And I think working hard doesn't always mean working smart. So I feel like for me, this next journey is really about stepping into the bigness of what we built. Mm-hmm. And really being supported and being able to scale it in another type of way that gives us the opportunity to be viewed as a different type of entrepreneur. And the one thing I would say to like our viewers and your viewers is it's never too late to evolve. You know, I think some people get stuck in like, oh, I have to be like this. This is the image that they've seen. And like, you can evolve. Like, I think people evolve. And I think that's the beauty of like doing self-work and deciding where you want to be and like, what do you want the rest of your life to look like? And being thoughtful around that. So I am really excited for the next version of entrepreneurship that I will embody, that I actually will feel supported.
Everybody's Crazy Season 7 will be launching around the time we air this podcast.
Yes.
Can you confirm the date?
August the 25th.
And anything you want to share that's uniquely crazy about the upcoming season?
Well, what's crazy is we're going to do 50 episodes. And we've never done that.
50 in one season?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we've never done
it. Banked any?
We're getting to banking.
We did a little mini series.
But we are going to do it. I think as we started to evolve this whole business model, it was like, jump off the ledge or don't.
That's great.
You know what I mean? And I think sometimes it's like playing around with like, oh, this could be possible. And we're like, just commit. Like, and yes. So we're ready. We did 30 episodes last year. But this year we're like, we're going to do 50 straight through and seeing what the commitment can do and where, how we can really continue to get people involved. I think a lot of times me and Savannah don't necessarily build from a business mindset. And when I say that, mm-hmm. we build from like an intentionality and wanting to touch people in a unique kind of way, which I think is very purposeful, and we want impact. We hope that during that journey we make money, but that's not where we start.
I'd love to close this out by asking some advice. So it is rare and very special to be able to work alongside a close friend. How do you both manage the work and the life part of your friendship, and how do you care for a friendship and a business simultaneously?
I think it's, for me, goes into how you show up for your friend. It's how you show up for your business. I think that the loyalty, the transparency, the honesty, the grace, mm-hmm. all of those things are parts of a friendship, and all of those things are also parts of building a business. So I think going into them for me with those things in mind have been helpful. And I think meeting where you are, like meeting your partner where they are, mm-hmm. Is very important.
I'm very grateful because we are in sync. Like, that's a gift. I think it's in sync to be in sync with like your personal friendships, be in sync with your partner, be in sync with your kids, be in sync with like certain relationships that are important to you is a gift. But it also takes work, you know? And I tell people like relationships in general require a level of work and vulnerability that I think a lot of people are not accustomed to going there. And I think if you want the depthness of like greatness, mm-hmm. I think if you go there, it's so rewarding. And just trusting the people around you. I think there's a lot of, especially now more than ever, a lack of trust in each other and community and business, and people are walking in mistrusting everybody instead of like walking into a room and trusting everybody. They're like, okay, who's against me? What's happening? You know, your head's on swivel. So I think I'm really lucky to be in sync, but I also desire that for other people, and just in personal and in business. Like, just being a good, solid, honest person can go a long way, mm-hmm. and not operating from a place of like being calculated or mm-hmm. trying to get something or mm-hmm. trying to do something can go a long way. Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
Say that again.
Yes, yes.
I think when you have a shared goal, so much magic can happen. Shared yes. goal and trust gets you a long way.
Yeah, and I even say that with my son. Like, my 16-year-old, he'd be trying to finesse me. And I'm like, just be honest. What you trying to say? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, just be honest. Mm-hmm. Just be transparent. And I can either accept it or I'm not. Mm-hmm. I think that applies to a lot of things in life, not just business. But we are very lucky.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm ready to come just be part of y'all's lives. I'm like, this is great. Okay, so we've come to the end of our episode, and that means it's time for my favorite segment, Would You Rather?
Okay.
You ready?
Ready.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm so excited.
Savannah's eyes. Yeah. April, okay, I just got like y'all's differences on full display. Yeah, yeah. Savannah's
would you
eyes
rather?
Like, fright and excitement. Would you rather start work at the crack of dawn or burn the midnight oil?
Crack of dawn.
Midnight oil.
Would you rather be the go-to friend for work advice or be the go-to friend for relationship advice?
Neither. Oh, that's hard for me.
Neither. She's both. She's both. I'm neither.
The first one, work advice.
Would you rather deliver advice with utmost compassion or serve it up straight with tough love?
Serve it up.
Compassion.
Flip, flip, flip.
Totally. Would you rather go back to school to learn a new skill or teach what you know to a class of newcomers?
learn the skill.
Teach what you know, baby, because I'm not going back to school.
This could not be better. Would you rather only answer emails with emojis or only answer calls on FaceTime?
Emails calls with emojis.
Sorry, buzz. On FaceTime.
Buzz. Love an email.
This is the best would you rather of all time. Would you rather write a great piece of feedback or receive a great piece of feedback?
Receive.
I don't like to write.
Would you rather accidentally leave your mic unmuted or your camera on?
Camera on.
Would you rather go into business with your best friend at the start of your career or when you're both seasoned?
Both seasoned.
Start of your career.
Ooh. I would have been, she would have quit. She'd have been like, I hate this bitch.
The good news is you guys did not partner with the exact same person. You know, like a lot of people will start companies and they just will seek out what they know. Mm-hmm. Complimentary is all, like, yeah. That's the best. At.
Yes.
Yeah. This has been so much
it's
fun.
It's no more? I was no so more. Ready. I love it.
Would you rather?
Thank you both so much for being here. I'm excited for everyone to listen to Everybody's Crazy's new season. We'll include all the info about how to watch in the show notes.
Oh, thank you for having
this
us.
This was amazing. Thanks for listening to Work Friends, a podcast from Argent. Listen and follow on all podcast platforms. Subscribe to the Argent YouTube channel for more clips and bonus content. And follow us on Instagram @Argent for all the latest. And before you go, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It means so much to us. I'm Sally Christensen, and we'll see you next time.
Work Friends.
Work Friends is produced by Gina Marinelli with editing by Ryan Woldoff. Our theme music is by Karina DePiano and Melanie Naima. This episode was recorded at Podstream Studios in New York, New York.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.